Hello, everybody. This is Steve Lacy. Welcome to Binge Talking. We are doing a special GNR episode. This is only for people who have a Molotov cocktail and a match to go. We are, of course, focused today on the big GNR announcement, which they've been building a lot of buzz over the past week with this sort of viral marketing campaign, Counting Down to Midnight, which then they formally announced as big re-release of Appetite for Destruction to mark the 31st anniversary. The 30th anniversary was last year, but it's this massive $999 box set with all sorts of goodies, 49 extra tracks. And in my travels on Twitter, one of my favorite people to read about GNR is this guy, Matthew Wake. His Twitter handle is Matthew B. Wake. He's a writer. He's written for everybody. He's written some really great GNR articles. Find him on Twitter. You can figure it out. He knows his stuff. So I decided to call him up. He lives in Alabama now. He's written for LA Weekly, among others. But we decided to talk about the announcement itself and how this bodes for the future of our favorite band, GNR.
From New York City, USA, welcome to the Fox 5 Podcast Network.
Okay, cool. All right, Matt, you there with me, bro?
Right here, Steve.
Excellent. All right, Matt, you are someone who shares my appetite for destruction. There's not many people who are as nuts about GNR as I am. So when I saw this whole thing start to unfold with the viral marketing campaign, the billboards, destruction's coming, I immediately thought of you. Now, we finally, you know, we knew a little bit before the actual announcement at midnight what it was going to be. But it's just GNR is releasing this re-released super deluxe version of Appetite for Destruction. It's a box set. The high-end version retails for $9.99. Where are you on that? I saw you tweeted that even if I have to sell something or whatever, I'm going to get my hands on this.
You know, when the rumors were first coming out about this, I think the first number I saw for the like big box was like $650. A grand is a bigger chunk, mm-hmm. but you know, man, a thing I love about this is one that, you know, even though all this audio is going to be on the streaming service, they have really put together some really cool stuff for the hardcore fans who want like a physical thing. But I mean, I love it that people are going to get to hear, you know, the mic clink version of Shadow of Your Love, which I guess they have a single right now. And, you know, that's just, it's so obvious why he was such a good mix for them as a producer. It's just razor sharp.
So for people out there who are uninitiated, Mike Clink is the guy who produced Appetite for Destruction.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that they're going to have the acoustic version of Move to the City on there from a live session. You know, we know that on the, you know, the live, like the Suicide version, it has the horns and it's electric. But if you've ever heard that acoustic version, Steve, they did it at Stevie Zeebies on an acoustic show. It's really cool. So that's exciting.
Oh, is that where that originates, at like October 87 CBGB show or something?
I know they did it there. I think they recorded this version the same session they did, like, the acoustic Used to Love Her and all that stuff.
Oh,
ended
okay.
up on Wise. You know, the Sound City stuff, a lot of it, I think, has been out for a long time. Like, I remember an ex-girlfriend in, like, 1990 giving me a dub cassette that had the November Rain acoustic with just the piano and Axel and an acoustic guitar. An early version of Back Off Bitch was on there, the Jumpin' Jack Flash, Heartbreak Hotel covers. But that stuff's cool. I mean, and it's Steve, to me, Appetite was always such a perfect album. Mm-hmm. I didn't get crazy in seeking out like the demos just because I thought the albums were so perfect. But it would be interesting to hear, you know, supposedly these were really good sessions they did at Sound City with Manny Charlton, who was the guitar player in Nazareth of Hair of the Dog. What are you excited about this?
Well, I you know, I didn't realize the Sound City angle, and Sound City, if that sounds familiar to people, that's the studio in California that Dave Grohl did the Sound City documentary, which is fantastic, where like every major album on earth was recorded. Nevermind, Rumors, on and on and on and on and on and on, and they had to shut it down when the whole world went from analog to digital. I didn't realize that there was stuff on that they recorded there, which is really cool.
Yeah, yeah. So it'll be kind of like you're saying with the mystique of the studio. And supposedly these sessions were, you know, like Mark Tanner, the like Slash's longtime best friend, had that great photo book,
Reckless Road.
Reckless Road. He remembers seeing those demo tapes and saying they were like, you know, really hot, really blazing. But I don't know. What's your take on the? What's your take on the on this stuff coming out and the way they're putting it out?
I think it's cool. It makes me wish I cared about vinyl, because I know that, like, this, you know, for audiophiles, that's the best sound quality. If I weren't to vinyl, I'd be more excited, just because the idea of getting this stuff on, you know, high quality records is really cool. I think it's cool. I mean, it's obviously it's a big money maker, for sure. So what is the deal? They've got the $999 version, which is super deluxe. I was actually looking at that today. They do have a lot of cool stuff with it. Like, it looks like you've got rings of each of the five members with their app. Like, that's, I was looking at, you know, truthfully, when I was looking at it, I'm like, oh, you know what I want to do? I want to fractionally buy this with like five people and be like, I get the Izzy Stradlin ring, and you can have the Adler ring, and I'll get this one thing, which I wonder if actually people will break it out like that. You know, you could sort of share the records and sort of divvy up the merch, because I'm, there is a lot of stuff in it. And I definitely think, you know, with Gene Simmons did that box set, it's interesting the different ways you can see smart artists make money and what it tells you about the music biz these days. You know, like, no one's going to just buy an actual album. You almost have to go so next level to get them to drop a ton of money on something truly exceptional. It'll be interesting to see how many of these they sell. You know, I wonder if they'll track that, or if we'd ever have that figure. Probably not.
You know, I'd love your take on, like, fans getting together and pulling their money and, like you're saying, kind of, I get this, you get that kind of thing. I think that's a very cool idea. And I guess, you know, the thing that I hope I don't see is, like, 3 months later, there being different parts of this on sale. You know what I mean? Like, just the B-sides record, or just, like, certain aspects. But I love the crazy, weirdo superfan stuff, like the rings, the AFD cross,
right,
like skull rings. I'd love that they include, like, the banner that they hung up behind the drum kit. I think this is like, you know, people have loved the Not In This Lifetime tour, and they're still loving it, but this kind of keeps the ball, it keeps things rolling forward, and I think I don't think it's a sign that they won't do a new record. You know, I talked to John Kolodner a year or two ago, the producer, or actually the A&R guy who was, you know, kind of revived Aerosmith in the 80s.
Yep.
And I asked him, I was like, you know, do you think a reformed GNR, you know, with the original lineup, could sell a million records? And he said, no way. And I'm not sure if they have good songs, and if maybe they redo some of the demos, you know, like there's some cool user illusion era stuff, like Just Another Sunday, Crash Diet. There's, you know, and maybe with some new stuff mixed in.
That's interesting that he flat out rejected the idea that that would be successful, because I think based on what you see, as far as I can tell, there's endless appetite for these shows.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, in New York, it was like they did two at MSG, one at Newark, then they just added a third at MSG. And I almost get the feeling like they could have done a week at MSG. And it just, you know, these major city gigs, they did the football stadiums. They did, you know, they did two nights at MetLife. They, you know, they're doing Philly, they're doing Boston, they're doing all these major cities right in succession. They're all, you know, drawing crazy people. Then they did the arenas. I think they might be the one band that, or one of few that would be able to actually sell records or albums, whatever we're calling them nowadays, especially if they were reunited.
I totally agree. I totally agree. And they do things, you know, totally the way they want to do them. I mean, the 30th anniversary of Appetite was last year, you know. I mean, like, but they do things on their own terms. This is a cool package. For people who are like, you know, screw that, I don't want to pay $200 for one version or a brand for another. I mean, all the all of this audio is going to be streaming, is what I've read. So, fans who, you know, don't want to pay the money for whatever reason, I don't think you can totally, you know, there's some grumbling, you know, about the prices and mm-hmm. stuff. But if, hey, if you don't want all the, you know, the kind of super fan stuff in there, if you just want the music, that'll be easily yours, you know, so.
No, totally. Let's just back up. So we started seeing those billboards with the original, the skulls from the Appetite album popping up everywhere. And of course, anything GNR World immediately triggers, oh my God, they're reuniting. Oh my God, is this a new album with the original members? Yeah. And I've learned to just know it's not that.
Yeah.
I think that ship has sailed. That, you know, I'm trying to think what I want to say about that. The show with the three is satisfying as hell. I mean, I've seen it 3 times in the past 2 years or whatever, and I'd see it 10 more times, easy.
Absolutely.
I would love to see Izzy there. I love Steven Adler. Could he handle day-to-day banging out three-hour shows? I think that's ultimately probably the concern with him, right? Just physically, if he's up to it, regardless of all the other baggage.
Sure, man. And you know what? I've seen it 2 or 3 times, and I saw 2 of the shows that Steven played on, and it was cool, and it was exciting, and he played well. But when he got off the drum stool and Frank Ferrer got back on there, I didn't spend the rest of the show going, God, I wish Steven was back on there, because the band is playing good, they're playing long. Like, you know, you've seen the show a bunch, and the set lists have been cool, and like you said, satisfying as hell, no doubt.
Totally right. I mean, that's the thing. Frank is just rock solid, you know? Like, you're not missing it. When he's up there, you're just like, well, that's taken care of. You know, let me focus on Slash and Duff and Axl. It's just, it's really cool, the whole thing. It's been a great reunion. So I don't think we're going to see much more of the, you know, the original five. Who knows? Maybe Izzy pops up somewhere. Now, wait, did I originally find you? Were you the one who wrote the article about Slash's guitar, finding his guitar sound on Appetite? Was that your article?
Yeah. So, like, I guess two of the big things, I've written a few things on GNR, but two of the big things I wrote on them was, like we're saying, the custom-built Les Paul replica that I mean, Chris Derrick built for Slash, and how that kind of really solidified the sound in terms of guitar on Appetite. And then I wrote a thing on a couple of the two co-writers on Appetite that were in the band, Wes Arkeen and Chris Weber. Wes, who was a friend of the band, and Chris Weber, who was a member of Hollywood Rose, the like precursor.
Oh, the original band, right? And that's fat, right? You know, and I just found this out too. Wes Arkeen, who died, he had some sort of like a gas grill exploded on him. Then he like got addicted to pain pills or something and overdosed accidentally. But now you can't get It So Easy on Spotify because there's a songwriter issue, apparently. Now, did you know that?
I think West also co-wrote Yesterday's, I believe, The Garden, and maybe a couple more really cool GNR songs. And the last time I checked, I didn't see those on Spotify either.
Yeah, so, there's some sort of litigation or something going on, which was weird because I popped up Appetite one day, or I think I was specifically trying to find It So Easy, and I'm like, wait a second, why is this not here? And then I Googled it and I saw that was a whole thing. And right, and then Chris Weber, right from those original Hollywood Rose bands, which was like one of Axl's first Hollywood bands, which is cool. So, all right, before we wrap up here, I really just wanted to dive into this with you because you've got PhD level knowledge of GNR, which is something I crave in people and it's hard to find. They're in Europe this summer, and then it'll be interesting because I feel like what bands do, especially major ones like this, like if you look at the Stones or Motley on a little lower level, but like they do the biggest arenas they can get away with, which was the stadiums. Then they do the arenas in the major cities. I wonder, because you live in Alabama, like how close did this get to you? And do you think, is it going to go another level lower, or will it be like another run of arenas eventually? back to MSG, back to, you know, the forum, stuff like that?
You know, so I live in a place called Huntsville, which is about 90 minutes from Muscle Shoals and about 2 hours from Nashville. So I went and saw the show in Nashville, and I was also writing for LA Weekly at the time. So I went to see a couple of the Dodger Stadium shows. But what I think would be cool, Steve, is that if they broke it down to, like, the next run, multiple nights in, like, theaters and do more kind of obscure songs that, like, super fans would pay for, or maybe a night of hits, a night of, like, kind of deep cuts, maybe do all of, you know, an album, maybe all of Appetite, maybe all of Live Like a Suicide. I don't know. There's a lot of things they can play around with, and, you know, I'm encouraged they put this I thought it was weird they, you know, didn't really mark Appetite, the 30th anniversary, a little bit. But, you know, like, they do their own thing, and this stuff's coming out a year later, and it represents forward movement, even though it's a retrospective.
No, totally. And
I think people are, you know, like, you know, even like relatively lesser GNR song like Back Off Bitch, like, the demo version's better. People are gonna love hearing that. People are gonna love hearing this stripped down November Rain. They're gonna love, I mean, even the, like, most ridiculous super fan stuff, like, I guess they're doing illustrated lithographs of every song on Appetite. Like, there's an illustrated depiction of Mr. Brown stuff.
Right.
I think that's cool as hell.
Yeah, no, I agree. No, you're right. Even though, you know, on one level, obviously, the intent is to make a ton of money on it, right? It does speak to some sort of vitality, and, like, there's this organization there intent on giving fans new ways to interact with the music that they love, which is cool. No, I agree with you totally, right? And, you know, it's fascinating how few albums they put out and how massive they are. I mean, when you think about it, they've got 3.5 albums, really, if you count Lies as sort of an EP. Well, I guess... Live Like a Suicide or whatever. But, I mean, considering how massive a footprint they have in the world of rock music, no band has done that with fewer albums, you know?
Oh, that's a great point. And that just tells you how good the stuff they did put out was.
Mm-hmm.
And even a song like Shadow of Your Love, like, I have, like, I guess it's like a Japanese EP called, like, Live from the Jungle, but it's basically Live Like a Suicide with... Shadow of Your Love and with Knocking on Heaven's Door live. So, I mean, Shadow of Your Love, like, most bands would have loved to have had that song on their record. Mm-hmm. And that tells you how good the material was that, you know, a kick-ass rock song like that, you know, has kind of been a obscurity until, you know, now people, it will be, Shadow of Your Love will be like, Traveling Riverside Blues was in 1990 or whatever when it came out on the Led Zeppelin box set.
It's going to be new to people. Oh, that's a great point. Whatever they were channeling it from 1985 to 1991 was so powerful. It really, it's an awesome thing. It never gets old to me. It was, you know, the Appetite was the first album that really just blew my doors off when I was in seventh grade. I didn't know you could swear on records. I didn't know you could stop a song and say, why don't you just F off in the middle of it? It just blew my mind. It continues to blow my mind. And it's amazing whenever I meet someone like you who is also of the same level, it's a powerful connection. And the thing is, like, with this tour you've seen, there's a lot of us out there for sure, which is really cool. All right, Matt, how do we find your writing? Because it's awesome. If you've stuck with this podcast at this point, this, you're a GNR fanatic like we are, and I need people to find your writing because it's awesome.
Awesome. Yeah. You can find it on my Twitter feed at Matthew B. Wake. I'm a staff writer with AL.com in Alabama, which is, you know, I write for the big newspapers here, Birmingham News, Huntsville Times, Mobile Press Register. I've written for LA Weekly and Pace in the past and working on some other things. But, Steve, I've always loved what you've tweeted out about GNR and other music, and definitely along the same interest there. And it's cool talking with you, man.
Yeah, no, I'm really glad we got you on the phone. I look forward to reading more of your stuff. And one day, if you're in New York, we'll have to go to a show together or something. God willing, we'll get you up here when they come back around. That'd be awesome, man. Matt, I appreciate it. And congrats on the wedding. I know you just got married a couple weeks ago.
Thanks, Steve. Yeah, and rocking in New York sounds great, man. I love that.
All right, I love it. Thanks, man. Take care, Matt. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. This episode was recorded, edited, and mixed by Matt Onimus. Our executive producers are me, Matt, and Ahmad Asghar. Our vice president of news is Byron Harmon, and our vice president and general manager is Lou Leone. Binge Talking is part of the Fox 5 Podcast Network. I'm Steve Lacy, and if you have any questions or comments, feel free to hit me up on Twitter, at Stephen Lacy with a V, or on Instagram, Steve Lacy, STEVELACY. In the meantime, stay tuned for our next episode.